Track 17, Unit 4, Listening 2. What is acceptable risk?
Welcome back, everyone. I'd like us to take a break from looking at environmental law to discuss safety and danger in more general terms. You've all been given some reading about risk to do. I'd like to start by asking you all a question. Is it possible to ever really be completely safe from danger?
I don't know.
Kind of.
We can all think of examples of activities that we think are safe. But we can also imagine that for each safe activity, there is a possibility of danger.
Can we say an activity is safe if the possibility of danger is very, very small?
Perhaps. But let's take two activities, climbing a mountain and driving a car. Both are dangerous activities, and in fact, more people die from car accidents than mountain accidents. In the United States, according to the Alpine Club of America, there are 25 deaths on average per year from mountain climbing. But there are between 30 and 40,000 deaths from car accidents every year as well, according to the U.S. Census. So why do most people feel that driving a car is safer?
It's easier than climbing a mountain.
Maybe it's because it's a danger we can control, so it feels safer.
But it's still not without risks. One of the first points we have to understand is that safety is not the same as zero risk. So, what makes us willing to engage in an activity that has risk? Or, more to the point, why would most people, given the choice, prefer to take the risk of getting in a car as opposed to hanging off the side of the mountain? The answer lies in the notion of acceptable risk. Does anyone have a definition of this?
Yes, I've got it here. Acceptable risk describes an unwanted event which can meet any one of these categories. 1, it's very unlikely to happen. 2, the consequences of the event are not very serious. 3, the benefits of taking the risk are great.
Very good. We have the concept of acceptable risk. Because we know that absolute safety is almost impossible to achieve.
Acceptable risk is often discussed in decisions about environmental health and safety, right?
Exactly. Does anyone else have anything on that? Well, for example, is there a measurement of acceptable risk?
I read that many authorities are reluctant to specify what is an acceptable risk. Which I guess is understandable.
If the chance of something bad happening is really, really small?
But how small is really small?
Well, there is one measurement that has emerged. The one in a million measurement. Have any of you come across that?
No.
It originated in the 1960s in the United States and is now widely used around the world, including by the World Health Organization. Let's say you are responsible for deciding if a certain product, like a shampoo or a kind of medicine, is dangerous. The one in a million test asks, does this substance, shampoo or medicine, have more than a one in a million chance of causing death?
One in a million feels pretty safe.
Yes, it does. But it's not 100% safe. Let's look at another example. Clean drinking water in a city. How do you decide if it is dangerous or safe? And if it's safe, what is a safe level? Well, if the local health administration decided that by drinking the local water over a lifetime, the chances of a person dying from drinking that water were one in a million or less, then that would be considered acceptable risk.
Makes sense. I guess the same concept can be used for all kinds of things?
Of course. Acceptable risk informs decisions about what we drink, about the food we eat, about the products that are sold to us, and about the activities we are allowed by law to do.
But, Professor, you mentioned at the beginning something about driving cars. The risk of having a fatal car accident is more than one in a million. I've got it here, at least in the figures for the UK. The odds of dying in a car accident in the UK are 1 in 240.
And probably more in this city.
Very good point. Over a lifetime of driving, the risk to your life is much more than 1 in a million. In some places, it's a lot more than the figure of 1 in 240 that was just quoted. And we still allow it. And everyone does it. Remember, we had 3 aspects to the definition of acceptable risk? The first was that the event was unlikely to happen. The second was that the consequences of the event were small. And the third was
that the benefits of taking the risk were great.
Yes. A higher level of acceptable risk may in fact be tolerated if the benefits are considered much larger. Additionally, we may also tolerate higher risks if they are voluntary, if we choose to take them, than if they are involuntary. Feeling in control will help us tolerate higher risk.
And I guess people have a sense of control when they drive. I mean, people feel more in control driving a car than taking an airplane, I guess. And I know that airplane accidents are a lot less common than car accidents, which means technically it's safer. But I feel that it's riskier.
Indeed. So, to conclude...